And I've come to the fencing of the table, a most solemn matter, solemn for us all. It has to do with those who should be at the table and those who should not. It has to do with life and death. It has to do with those who are dead in trespasses and sins and those who have been born again, brought alive by the power of God. It has to do with those who are in darkness by nature and who have been brought into the marvellous light of God. There are no in-betweens. There are no half-breeds between light and darkness. That doesn't exist. We only have two kingdoms in the world spiritually, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And we either belong to one or else we belong to the other. And that not because men say it, but rather because God says it. And even Nicodemus, who was the teacher of the Jews, and we take it, the indication there is that he was the head teacher in spiritual matters among the Jews. Even that man was told by Christ that he would have to be born again. He couldn't understand that. The Jews used to say that to the non-Jews. It's in their books that they would have to be born again, born into Jewry. But to tell a man who was a Jew, to tell a man who was a professor in theology, as it were, that he must be born again, that is a lot. But that's how it is. You must have a saving experience in your own soul. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what background you have. It doesn't matter how well you know the Bible. It doesn't matter. Unless you have been saved by the power of God from your sins, unless you have faith in Christ, you should not be at this table. It's a family table. A family table. It's not the gospel table. The gospel table you will see spread out before you tonight. The gospel is preached to sinners. That's different. This is the family table. This is for the children of God. This is for those for whom Christ is the elder brother and the Father in heaven is their Father and the Holy Spirit indwells them. It is a family table. And you cannot even eat at this table unless you have the mouth that can feed, and that mouth is faith. Without faith, you cannot feed. Without faith, you'll never make proper use of the Word of God. Without faith, you are drawing nothing and gaining nothing from Christ as Savior. Without faith, you might take up the bread and the wine, but it's still going to be bread and wine for you. It might strengthen your body a little, but without faith, it will never be used under the Holy Spirit to strengthen your soul. That cannot be. Without faith you cannot please God, and without faith you have nothing. Now we hear these things often. I'm not saying anything new. I'm not trying to say anything new. The very preaching of the Word of God from Sabbath to Sabbath should in itself have a kind of fencing. There's an innate fencing in the very preaching of the Word of God. And those who are under proper preaching, those who are under proper preaching should know, even if no fencing is made on this day, they should know that there is a barrier, that there is a fence, as it were, that God has placed something between the converted and the non-converted when it comes to this table. And we know that it would be possible for us to go so far in fencing that we might exclude everyone. Alexander MacLeod, who was in Uig Lewis, once had a minister fencing. And when the minister finished his fencing, he said to him, "You know, your fencing was so severe that I doubt if anybody present would dare come to the table." "And indeed," he said, "your fencing was so severe that I feel I can barely go to the table. And your fencing was so severe that I do not think that you should go to the table." It's not meant to be like that, friends. It's meant to encourage God's poor people. It's not a barrier against God's people to keep them out. It's a gracious barrier against the non-believer, a gracious, loving barrier to keep him out. And it's a gracious, loving barrier to encourage God's people to step over it and to go to the Lord's table. It's for them. It's meant for them. And it's a wonderful, wonderful table, but it's meant for them. And the Lord has commanded them to go to this table. "Do this in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. And that is very poignant. Poignant. In remembrance of me. If you really remember me as I desire you to remember me. If you really care for me as I desire you to care for me. Then you will show that not merely by having family worship or attending the prayer meeting, but you will show that by coming to my table. You will honor my name by coming to the table. You will glorify me by coming to the table. You will tell the whole world that you belong to me by coming to my table, that you desire to own me and honor me in all thy ways if you will come to the table. It is meant for them. What a sad thing it is if a dear one makes a provision, provides a table for the family, and the whole family says no. The family says no. Well, that's not how it's meant to be. But again, of course, when you come to the session to profess, the session has two things to look at. The session, first of all, has your own profession of faith. What you say, what your testimony before them is, that is one thing. But the elders are supposed to look at something else. And that's why we have district elders. That was the whole purpose of it. You had an elder in every district who would know the conduct of the people in every district. And the conduct comes into it as well. Yes, the conduct. What's the use of saying you love the Lord Jesus Christ if you were rolling in the gutter last night with drink? Or if you're immoral, or if you're a thief and a liar and a cheat, if you're a destroyer of the character of other people and of God's people, what's the use of that? If you're a Sabbath breaker, if you do not bring up your children in the way that they should go, it's all right going around telling people you're a Christian and your children can do anything they like. There's something inconsistent with all that. If they can take televisions into their bedrooms and see anything they like in the bedroom, and television, and make a wrong use of computers. No, friends, we must have a consistency in our lives as well as a profession upon our lips. And the session looks at these things. And God's people value that. Every child of God wants a walk in life. "How comely are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter." Every child of God wants a walk in life. And if you slip, if you fall, if there's a fly in the ointment. And Solomon spoke of that, spoke of the good man, the holy man. But then he does something, he slips up somewhere, and the world gets a hold of it. The ointment is sweet, sweetly scented, it's precious. But the dead insect, the dead fly in the ointment impairs it. It's still ointment, but it's impaired. And we do not desire to have our lives impaired. Ah, what a beautiful thing it is to go through this life with that fragrance. And God's people don't feel a fragrance. There's no holy man who feels a fragrance in his own life. A holy man very often feels that he's a walking grave, that the smell of the grave afflicts his nostrils constantly. Ah, yes, but do you see? At the same time, he can be scented from heaven by the walk he has in this world. It's a beautiful thing to see a consistent Christian. And again, it doesn't matter should you be full of fears and doubts. Faith looks at Christ. That's all there is to it. Faith looks at Christ. When you start to look at yourself, well, no wonder you'll be full of doubts and fears. There's nothing in us. We can see the sin within us. We can see the old nature within us. We can remember things we did and how things we thought and all the rest of it. And of course, we feel that. But we have to look to Him and obey Him. And with our doubts and fears, we are meant to come to the table. But I only have a tiny faith, a weak faith. With your weak faith, as you call it, with your tiny faith, as you call it, if it is saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him alone, you are meant to come to the table. It is yours. Wasn't man who told you to go there. It was Christ Himself who told you to go there in remembrance of Him. Well, friends, we could say a great deal about the table. We could say a great deal in fencing. Fencing was in Scotland since 1560. John Knox fenced the table. And fencing is in Scripture. People sometimes say, well, it was the custom. Custom means nothing unless it's in the Word of God. And it's in the Word of God in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11. God fenced the table in Corinth. Some were weak and some were sickly and some fell asleep. These people had come from pagan temples where they had feasted in their own way in these pagan temples. They were converted and then they had the Lord's table, and some of them tended to bring these ideas that they had before to the Lord's table. Some ate to excess and drank to excess, and they had their own cliques and friends with whom they sat and excluded others, and they brought the name of Christ into shame before the world. So the Lord Himself, yes, Christ Himself chastised them. Some were weak, some were sickly, and some were asleep. That is, they were dead. They had died. Yes, He brought death upon some of His own people in Corinth because of how His people were keeping the Lord's table. And Paul, of course, wrote a letter to the Corinthians reminding them of all that. And that letter itself is the basis we have for fencing the Lord's table. And we are meant to fence it. Of course, it is going throughout Scotland. Fences are going. And even in the church from which I came, the fencing is beginning to go. And that's a cause for sorrow. Cause for sorrow. The fencing has to do with the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ. and the good of God's cause. But we shan't stop there. We'll go to the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And again in Matthew chapter 5, from the beginning, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his holy word. And we now turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116 from the beginning. I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Of death the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold on me, I grief and trouble found. We might sing from the beginning of the psalm until the elders have placed the bread and the wine on the table, which speak of the broken body and the shed blood. I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear.